From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to continue to Let the Bible Speak from Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Yesterday we were paying attention to this great subject, living in the experience of the power of God, and noticing that Christians not only experience the power of God in salvation, but also in sanctification. God is working in His people to will and to do of His good pleasure, and His good pleasure is always a good pleasure of holiness. We're going to return to that in just a few minutes, so I trust that you'll stay with us and look into God's Word along with us. But first, we turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 6, for today's daily devotional Bible reading. The reign of grace. Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The Church of Rome has always hated the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Since the days of the Reformation, she has asserted that such preaching will lead to licentious living. Of course, that's not a new charge against the gospel, for Paul had to face the same accusation in his day. Now it seems that today's popular carnal Christian theory is giving credence to Rome's allegation. In our day, a person can make a decision for Christ without deciding to be made a disciple of Christ. He can be saved from his present troubles, or so he hopes, or saved from hell, as some preachers would even tell him, but never need to be saved from his sinful vices. He'd be told that he can receive Christ as his Savior while deliberately holding off on having Christ as his Lord. Now, Paul addresses such fallacies in the sixth chapter of Romans by proving that justifying grace will reign in the life of the true child of God. By our union with Christ in his death, our old man is crucified with him. As Christ died to sin's guilt, sin's condemnation, and sin's reign, so did we. That is, by bearing our sin on the cross, the Lord Jesus destroyed all that sin could do to us. Not that our sinful nature was eradicated, but that it lost its power to dominate us, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Can it be any plainer than Paul's declaration in verse 14 of Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you? What does this say to those who claim that this doctrine of free justification leads to loose living or immorality? And what does it do to the theory of the so-called carnal Christian, which says that a man can be saved and never leave his sinful habits and wicked living? Most certainly these notions are left high and dry. Thank God for the sanctifying power of the truth of justification. For how shall we who have been freed from the horrors of sin by the awful death of our Redeemer live any longer in that sin? Let us therefore yield ourselves as servants of God unto holy living. And our thought for today comes from the Prince of Puritan Divines, John Owen. He leads none to heaven but whom he sanctifies on the earth. Regular listeners to Let the Bible Speak will know that here on the program we like to offer some good and helpful literature. Some time ago we had a special offer of one of my books, and for a while now we're making a very particular offer of a book entitled God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of Daniel. It's by my associate pastor, Dr. Michael Barrett, and it answers the question, where is God? A question often asked by skeptics, scoffers, and even by troubled believers. Trials and tribulations of one sort or another crowd people's daily lives. Corruption, conflict, and catastrophe seem to command the world scene. And in the middle of all this comes the question, where is God? There is a new heresy abroad in many parts of the professing church. It's called open theism. It has the idea that God is a good God, God is a caring God, but he is always reacting to what is happening in the world. He is not the God of providential purpose and unfailing control. Dr. Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, the message of the book of Daniel, shows that God, our Savior, is the God of history, and he's the God of prophecy. And therefore he is also the great God of the present, the one who is in complete control. So the message of the book of Daniel simply is, not to worry. The Lord has everything under control. Now you can receive your free copy of God's Unfailing Purpose while our supplies last by writing to us here at Let the Bible Speak. So we look forward to hearing from you. And we'd be happy to send you not only God's Unfailing Purpose, but any of the other pieces of literature that we advertise here in the broadcast from time to time. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be glad to send you Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of the Book of Daniel. Time now for us to turn back to Colossians chapter 1 verse 29 to continue our study in the subject Living in the Experience of the Power of God. Yesterday we looked at the fact that all Christians experience God's power working in them in sanctification. We've been paying attention to Philippians 2 verse 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we have shown that the good pleasure of God is always holiness, and that believers work more perfect holiness as the Lord works in them. It's divine energy that stirs them up and steers them in the right paths. Now, in doing this, the Lord takes certain steps, and today we come to the first of those. He works in his people conviction of sin. So let's turn now to Colossians 1, verse 29.
God is working in every man and woman whom he has purchased with the blood of Christ and justified by faith in Jesus. God is working in those people to will and to do of his good pleasure, and therein we have the ground, the foundation, upon which we may exercise our responsibility to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, without wanting to expound those words particularly, I am greatly impressed when I read the Bible that the fear of the Lord is a term throughout Scripture that is always associated with worship. It is a term that in many occasions is a synonym for worship. And the idea of fear and trembling is worshiping with a vision before us of the majesty and the glory and the greatness of our God, being so impressed with who and what our God is, we worship him. That's working out our own salvation. In other words, every area of life, like the spokes of a wheel coming out from the hub, every area of life is intimately connected with our vision and our worship of our God. I want you to get that picture in your mind. Never, never, never let us forget it. Illustrations always, always leave a lot to be desired. But nonetheless, get the picture of that hub all those spokes, and then the perimeter, the rim that holds it all together, is the gospel revelation of Jesus Christ. So I want you to see every area of your life, no matter what area it is, it's just a spoke of life, and it is connected with your vision and your worship of God and your exercise of faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And it's that faith in Christ that brings integrity. I use that in its most basic sense. Integrity and wholeness and unity in the Christian life. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in you. God is working in you. You see, believers work towards a more perfect holiness as the Lord, with His divine energy, works in them. It's that energy that stirs us up and steers us into right paths. How often have we said or sung the words of Psalm 23 in verse 3, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. But the children of God have this mark. They are led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they and they alone are the sons of God. So if you're a child of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. Where does the Spirit of God lead His people? Into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So God's people do experience God's power working in them in sanctification. Think of this in a little more detail. Number one, He works in them conviction of sin. I'm sure you've noticed this in your own life, if you're a Christian. There were things that you got into before you were saved. There were things that you loved and liked and you're completely at home in. In fact, they were so much your proper environment that you were unaware sometimes that you were thinking, saying, or doing them. Completely at home. You were like a fish in water. And then you get saved. And suddenly, you have a tender conscience that things that never bothered you now bother you a whole lot. I have sometimes mentioned a man who had a very, very profound influence in my early Christian life. I became an elder in our church in Mount Marion. I had met this man in his unconverted days. I was just a little boy, but I had met him. And he was the most foul-mouthed individual that you could ever have the misfortune to talk to. He couldn't talk without foul language. It had got to such a stage, he was not even aware that he was saying anything offensive. He cursed and he swore just the way you or I would say hello or good morning. It was second nature to him. And if you'd asked him to stop it, he could not have done so. But when he was over in Canada, God took him to a little Baptist church. God did a miracle and God saved him. And you know, the very first obvious change in his life was God washed his mouth out. And from that moment, the slightest hint of a double entendre or the slightest hint of impurity of speech or blasphemy of utterance was like a sword to his heart. And he used to lament. He said, there were times when the devil would bombard my mind and remind me of these things and try to bring back and suggest all sorts of vile and vicious things to say, especially against the Lord. And it broke his heart. Things that before would never, never have even crossed his mind as even to worry about. Now he had a conscience. And I think to some extent you may not have suffered from his particular sin. But
we all know what that is.
Where the Lord gives you a conscience. Why? Because you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. And it is the peculiar work of the Holy Spirit of God to convict. Jesus said, John 16, verse 8, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Reproving of sin. You see, the indwelling Holy Ghost strives against the sin in our flesh. We are still in the flesh. There's no getting out of that until we are glorified or until we die. We are in the flesh. And in my flesh, said Paul, dwelleth no good thing. Sin dwells in the flesh. And that's not just speaking of the skin and bone, but it's speaking of the entire body. And brain, by the way, as a willing servant of sin. Now, the Holy Ghost strives against that. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, there's the battle in a Christian. Some people get worried that there's a battle within them. Man, the only time you've got to worry is when there's no battle within you. See, if you're able to sin and there's no battle, if you can live in sin and there's no battle, you're in trouble because you're unconverted. How can I say that? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Now, watch the last line. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, there's an insight into true psychology, biblical psychology, an insight into a converted soul. Because there is the Spirit within you, lusting. The word lust, of course, does not necessarily imply wickedness. The lust of the flesh is wickedness. But the word lust in itself simply is a word that expresses very strong desire. And so you have this movement of the flesh against the Spirit, but you have this strong moving of the Spirit against the flesh. With the result, with these two contrary forces, you cannot do the things that you would. There are things that your flesh would do. And sometimes, to our shame, we have to say, we allow the flesh to do. And that's when conviction kicks in. For you can't do those things. There was a time when you could do it without a thought. But you can't do it anymore. Not with any comfort. There's a battle going on, the striving of the Holy Ghost within us against sin. So he works conviction. Let me just stop there for a minute. If you're a Christian, the Lord's putting his hand in your life today or any other day, and he's isolating things, actions, attitudes, thoughts, words, associations, whatever. He's putting his hand in those things, and it's uncomfortable for you. The old flesh would want to strive, get up. It's still going to strive against the Spirit. It's going to say, blot it out of your mind. Get out of that meeting. Get away from that sort of influence. Or blame the preacher or whoever else happens to be the instrument to be used of the Spirit of God to bring it to your heart. But let me tell you, be very careful. As a Christian, but quenching the Holy Ghost.
Be very careful. He's working conviction in you to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Anything else will not be good in your life. There's only one thing good in your life or my life, and that's the good pleasure of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.